Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October the 2th, 272nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the always technical Bill McCauley.
Oh, there you go.
You were concerned that somebody might call you during the show?
No, I was concerned that your clock was part of a minute off, and so I was...
you were checking Aaron's
sinking.
Time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My understanding is to be a radio professional, you really need to know exactly what time it is. So.
I have no idea.
I know.
Yeah. And embrace that position daily.
Thank you for teeing that one up for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, do what I can, right? So you said that things are pretty much gridlock situation here as we're making our way. There was a reference that if nothing happens, what those dollars and cents might be. So we can start the show talking about what the cost of inactivity might be.
Mm.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah.
It starts with thousands. Maybe that'll keep somebody's attention.
Yeah.
We'll see if that happens when we come back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Times, 314. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with CPA Bill McCauley. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Charles Evans Hughes.
Okay.
You recognize him?
No.
Neither do I. Okay. A man has to live with himself. And he should see to it that he always has good company.
Hmm.
That's kind of nice. And a weird, yeah. I might be heat stroking, I don't know, a weird kind of way.
Yeah.
Oh, and a culinary tip.
Really?
Yeah, last hour.
Is this food?
This is food. Okay. That would be culinary.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you have a hot dog or a hamburger and you decide to put horseradish on it, be sure that you evenly distribute it throughout the entire bun.
Ah.
Yes.
Concentrated horseradish.
I put it along the seam and, you know, I thought it might squish over. I didn't want to have to pick it up, so.
Not so much, huh?
Oh, baby, it was quite the experience.
Huh. Well, okay. I think we've all seen it. You know, we've all been, most of us probably been a party to some kind of horseradish error that occurred.
Well, wasabi errors for me are pretty routine, and that's okay. I mean, I always drown it with soy sauce.
Yeah.
But, whoa.
I remember being at OH's and watching my nephew think he was putting his spoon into sour cream and getting a big old spoonful of horseradish and the look on his face.
Did he ever recover?
Yes.
Oh, he did recover.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the look on his face, and anyway.
The way I was.
All of us were laughing, including his parents. And
oh,
so,
good. Anyway. The way I was reacting, Ange was thinking about possible ambulance retrieval.
Ah. Just go get the garden hose. Open up.
Well, and it wasn't once.
No.
Survived one. Okay. I'm ready for the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then I got the tablespoon hit.
Yeah. Good thinking, Brian.
So
basically
I'm
what
clear.
You're saying...
I'm popping now, baby.
What you're saying is you can't learn.
No.
you're unteachable.
No. I need to take a longer-term perspective than 5 minutes to analyze
Oh,
things.
More hot dog.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on, Bill. I think that it was this morning. I don't think it was Bloomberg. May have been. It could have been the Wall Street Journal. it's the 1 week of the year where we got heat. I got a fly in here. It's the size of a school bus. Huh. Hope he lands on your side.
Yeah, go get Aaron.
Yeah. Go feed. What is the report this morning? And it said the average, which is always concerning, middle income, another concern, family, if nothing happens at Washington, will pay an excessive additional $2,000 next year in taxes for those over, and I forget what the benchmark was, if it was 100, 152, 250, but let's say out there, whatever they call out there, it was over $8,000. Okay. With the concerns of blowback in the past, you'd think something would be done. However, with the election cycle as it is, and nobody really focusing on this stuff, even though the candidates are all at home, there's no activity on it. What are you hearing if nothing happens, whether one side wins or the other side wins, and both sides decide, screw it, I'm not going to do anything for them. Everybody loses, kind of. Is that the sense you have?
It kind of depends where you go get your information, as always. But it is, there are predictions. What we're looking at is a range of tax provisions that are gonna change as of January 1, 2012 or 2013, and they either go away or sunset or just outright disappear, and then we go back to whatever the old law was before that, and we can talk about the specifics. But the point is that in the literature we get that it's referred to as Taxmageddon. You know, and of course, there's no hyperbole.
Also.
There's no hyperbole involved in this analysis.
Yeah.
But the point is, there's going to be if you look at where we sit right now and say, okay, that's the baseline, and you look at where things would be after January 1, if nothing else is done, that would amount to the single largest tax increase in the history of the United States of America. So
then the battle probably becomes with the semantics. Was it a tax increase or not?
I understand. I'm just saying if you assume that we're at a baseline right now, I'm not trying to really get into too much semantics. I'm just saying that if you look at where the tax law is for 2012 and you assume that's a baseline, if nothing happens, then it will be amount to the largest tax increase in the history of the United States of America, as I understand it. So that's just, I think there's some context there. Does that mean that some of this stuff shouldn't go away and things shouldn't change? Of course not. There needs to be some change, but it's going to be an interesting few months.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times. 324, we're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, looking at the federal picture, I know you're a gambling kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What likelihood would you put on significant being done, rollover being done, nothing being done as far as the anticipated or projected sunset of various tax legislation that is set to occur at the end of the year?
I think there's a continuum of possibility here. I think a relatively remote possibility that nothing is done that doesn't at least retroactively get applied into 2013 back to January 1, 2013, if you follow me. So in other words, even if something isn't done in the 2 months after the election, regardless of which party wins, I think some things will probably get done in early 2013 that are retroactive to January 1.
So made whole, so to speak.
Some things will be done. Made whole is an entirely different statement. I think that it's going to depend on
those individual items that you were referencing.
Yes, some things will get done. It depends on what happens as to who's got the most influence as to what's going to get done. Each interest group who supports candidates wants a different, they all want somewhat different outcomes. And so, you know, we're all getting behind candidates and trying to get influence to get what we think, you know, should happen because based on my ideals or my perspective on how the world should run. And so who knows what, you know, exactly what we're going to get until we get some. And even then, it's going to be there'll be some give and take. There'll be some negotiation that has to go on because neither party, by any reasonably objective measure I've seen, is going to be sitting there with a complete power picture. You know, it's likely to have even if one party were to take the presidency, the House, and the Senate, it won't be a veto-proof majority in the Senate. So there's going to have to be some dealings with both sides here. And the question is, you know, after the election, there may not be a lot of, depending on what happens, it's possible there won't be a lot of sentiment for people getting along because there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be unhappy, regardless of the outcome. I mean, you know, there's not a segment of our population, there's no happy outcome in this election.
So compromise is a word that probably goes out the window. It seems like it's been out the window for a long time.
It certainly hasn't been in vogue.
So as you look at both sides still wanting to do something, is there potential to get some of the extensions, some of the pieces of legislation through, maybe not the biggies, but to get something done?
I think so. I think the likelihood is that after the election, there'll be a determination of who's won, and certain things are going to get done. Maybe there's an AMT patch and a few other things get put into place. But, you know, you could certainly see that there's, you know, right now we have a payroll tax cut that we're all, pay less on the Social Security element of our based on our income. Well, that is scheduled to go away. And based on what, you know, the street talk is, that's probably not coming back. So that one's probably done. And
so what does that mean?
It was intended to be a temporary measure,
right?
And it's time, it may have run its course. Now, does that mean that, you know, that it couldn't come back in some form? Of course not. But right now, the conventional wisdom is it's probably not coming back. They will probably do something with the alternative minimum tax system because under the existing law, the exemption goes down for a married couple goes down from about $75,000 down to $45,000, and that means that probably you'll have millions of more people subject to the alternative minimum tax, and so you'll have there already a segment of voters who are subject to that, but if you expand that too much, then you're going to have a larger disaffected group who's subject to the alternative minimum tax. And so the expansion I've heard could be the new AMT payers could be twice as many as what we have already. So
oh, really, the pool
yeah,
is that
so
much
you
more
could,
popular?
Yeah, you could go from, you know, from a measure of one to a measure of three in terms of the change. And so that could be a lot of people. So there are a series of things that I think are probably likely to get addressed in one form or another before year end. There are some real uncertainties, you know, when you start looking at withholding rates and things like that. You know, if going back to the payroll tax cut, if that change is going to be in effect, businesses need to know about it before year end so that the payroll tax tables that they're using are set appropriately. And that, you know, that can happen quickly, but it can't happen overnight. And so there are things that the timing is such that what I would predict is that the longer it takes, the more likely it is we'll have a delayed start to the tax filing system season. And what, you know, because
Which
the IRS
push back
won't be
the deadline.
Oh no, they don't push
just
back the deadline.
It.
They just compress the yeah. you know from somebody who works, you know, in a profession that serves tax preparation, we're going to see once again see the window compressed again.
You don't like to sleep
again.
Anyway.
Again.
You just got a little tick on that one.
Yeah.
It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The research has tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 335. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with CPA Bill McCauley. Bill, some of the other things that are out there, we've got the opportunity for more indebtedness in California. And I suppose all states have got this. It seems as if we've either self-learned or been trained to, if you don't get what you want legislated, if you don't get it through legislation, then do it as a proposition. And if you can put your dollars earmarked funding specifically for something, great, let's do that also. That's kind of seems what it's boiled down to in the last 20 or 25 years, at least in our area. Now, I don't know if all states are similar to California and Oregon, but it does seem to be going that general direction. When you look at some of the ballot measures that are on the California budget, are these things, does anything get you warm and fuzzy?
Well, if nothing else, the tax initiatives are going to be interesting. And the reason I said is because of the interplay between the initiatives. We have three initiatives that are going to be on the ballot in November. First one is Prop 30. It was put on the ballot by Governor Brown, and it has some specific it has both an income tax increase, a sales tax increase, and if it fails, then there'll be an additional $6 billion in budget trigger cuts, so that things are just going to be cut if this thing doesn't go through. So then you've got Prop 38, which also has an income tax. Now, Prop 30 is supposed to bring in about, when it's fully phased in, and it phases in a little different, the income tax increases come in on a slightly different schedule than the sales tax. Sales tax starts a year later, so the income taxes would start January 1, 2013. The sales and use tax increase would start a year later. So it's not fully phased in for a year, I guess is my point. But that's supposed to bring in about $6 billion a year. Whereas Prop 38 is just an income tax increase. It's 1% to 2% increase for most taxpayers. And that was supposed to bring in about $10 billion a year if it scored correctly. Interestingly, however, the interplay between these two initiatives is that Prop 38 is, if it gets more votes than Prop 30, then the income tax provisions of Prop 38 go into play. And so it goes down to which one of these provisions gets more votes if they both pass, or if two or three of them pass. Interestingly, in my way of thinking, is if Prop 38 passes with more support than Prop 30, then Prop 38's income tax provisions come into play, but because the Prop 30 budget triggers or income wouldn't come in, increases wouldn't come into play, the triggers cutting expenses under Prop 30 would come into play. So we'd be cutting expenses and having increased revenue. So if 38 passes with more support than 30 is the way I understand it. So the long and the short of it is that until this thing gets settled out, we don't really know what's going to happen. But it will be interesting, on election night, and then potentially thereafter if one or more of these things passes.
So the concept is two competing, or one was put into play and the other is a counter to it?
They're competing initiatives. So Governor Brown put a Prop 30 does three things. It increases the personal income tax on higher earners. So if you're single and earn less than $250,000, won't affect you. If your joint and you earn less than $500,000, it won't affect you. If you're head of household and you earn less than $340,000, no change. But if you're over those thresholds, then you're going to be subject to a 1, 2, or 3% income tax rate increase.
What about for the independent business owner? Is this unreportable or is this on
net income? It's on the net taxable income. So what's going to happen is if this goes into play, it's going to substantially increase California's income tax rates on the top end. And that, you know, there may be a lot of fertile ground out there for raising tax, but you do have to wonder, you know, the question I have is, has anybody figured out how many, you know, who are the top 50 taxpayers in the state of California? Not by name, but who are they? How much do they make? How much are you going to generate on this new tax? And what if you lose one or two of those people to move out of the state? And what's the net effect? And the problem with, you know, we've talked before about California's a big part of our revenue structure problem in California is the fact that we are dependent upon volatile revenues. A lot of our tax base comes from income taxes and sales and use taxes, which are very volatile in a down economy. So because of that, this only increases that volatility, which means we have a down economy. We're going to feel it even more by going with this kind of approach. And so it's going to be interesting to see if that occurs. So Prop 30 is Governor Brown's initiative. It's the sales tax increase is also a piece of that, and that begins in 2014. It's 0.25% across the state, and that I think goes in for 4 or 5 years for that. And then, you know, if this doesn't pass, then there's automatic budget cut triggers of $6 million that'll be cut principally from K-12 and community colleges. So, like usual, what we do is, you know,
same approach is what they do with Cal Fire and the SRAs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go out and fundraise if you need to, but if it doesn't happen, you're going to get tagged.
Yeah.
Well, kind of the same thing with the education system.
Yeah, the education system, once again, despite promises that have been made by ballot initiatives that we've passed in prior years, we're still going to be back in the case. If this occurs once again, we're going to be hammering the schools. You know, all that been said, everybody's going to have to come to their own conclusion about this stuff. I'm very concerned about the potential impact of raising the top end of the tax rate structure, of what it's going to do to if we lose 10 of the top 50 taxpayers in the state of California. I think that's a really massive number, and it might undo all this other work. And not only that, if they leave, they're going to take employees and, you know, other spending and take it to Texas.
If they're portable, whether it's Texas or Nevada or Utah,
they're partially portable, they might do it too. They don't have to be fully portable. They can move a lot of it out of the state. And, you know, who can blame somebody when you look at what it costs to do business in the state of California, not just from a regulatory burden standpoint, but also from, you know, just the pure, you know, the pure tax cost. So, you know, everybody's going to, you know, on one hand, you're looking at what's going to happen to the schools. On the other hand, you're looking at what's in the state's best interest for the long term. Very difficult questions.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:44. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. That's right. Next time you're back, it's Election Day.
That is something for everyone to look forward to, because the next day the elections will be over.
Yeah. But what does that mean anymore?
Well, we don't have to hear the commercials and...
Have you heard any? That was one of the discussions
no,
I'd
it's
had
been pretty,
with a bunch
sparse.
Of buddies. Concentrated, I think, would be the phrase. Mm-hmm. I guess they're just going crazy in about five or six states.
Yeah.
I've not heard radio for either side here.
You mean as far as the national?
Yeah, in California, I've not heard.
Well, why?
Nevada, though, there's some stuff going on.
Why would either side spend money here?
Well, it'd just be nice to hear one. I mean,
I understand.
Even in the Bay Area.
It's one of the challenges with our electoral system is that if you live in a state that the outcome's a foregone conclusion, then you're not likely to A, see the candidates, or B, have them, you know, be try to get their message to you.
Well, we don't see our state candidates that often either. I mean, when was the last time you saw a U.S. senator from California in the neighborhood?
Wow, that's a good question.
This decade?
Yeah.
Maybe. Is there a tree ceremony somewhere that...
Good question. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
So I think we're out in the woods running around naked anyway, so who cares, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to buy you a loincloth.
Okay.
And I might buy you a tarp.
Hey, I'll just get you a mask.
That'd solve it.
Yeah. Well, at least you allow to run unfettered.
Yeah. At my age, it's kind of like.
Okay, stroll slowly.
Yeah, it's like trot.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Is there any state that you're aware of where there is any kind of movement towards balancing an unbalanced budget?
Yeah. There are states who are being successful.
Well, there's but doing the transition from being over-leveraged or running a deficit to converting over to being fiscally prudent. Are there any of those that are in that transition window right now?
Yeah, there are states in the union that are more focused on it than others. Unfortunately, you know, in California, we seem to be a little more like Greece in that we don't want to do the hard work, and so
well, even Spain's that way now.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, sooner or later, we're not going to solve our problems with revenue, on a federal basis, it's part of the mix. I'm not saying you can't, but when you're spending 25% almost of GDP on a federal basis, and you're bringing in, you know, 15-16% of GDP, that's a huge gap that we're not covering effectively.
Yeah, that's a kind way to say it. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Stir the pudding and leave. That's a pretty good goal.
Attaboy.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.